Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Jaya Rukmini Dwarkadish, Rukmini Dwarkadish, Rukmini Dwarkadish, Rukmini Dwarkadish. Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Baladeva, Jaya Subhadra. Jaya Gora Nitai, Gora Nitai, Gora Nitai, Gora Nitai. Nitai Gora Haribol, 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 Gora Haribol. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanandi Hayai Bol, Jayom Vishnu Pad, Paramahamsa Paraprajik Acharya Sitara Sita Sri Shimai, Iskan Bibiti Pandar Acharya Zabayan Grace, A.C. Bhaksudanta Swam Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Grantarashi and Bhagavatam Kijai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glory to the Prabhupada. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Madhirya. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a rare means of conquest, let us offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of God and Lord Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, who is the translator, commentator, and our spiritual master. Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavata Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishiki. By regularly attending the Srimad Bhagavatam class and by rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, whose worship through transcendental songs becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Quick favor, in the drawer where the microphone is kept, on the left side, there's like a tofu container, and then my glasses are in there. Can you bring them for me? So we're continuing reading from the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 7, the son of Jonah punished. And today we have a double verse, 53 and 54. Yes. And so we'll recite the first one responsibly. I'll read the second one, then we'll do the synonyms, translation, and purport. No. Inside the container, in a little plastic bag, clear plastic bag. Those are suvasas. Yeah, those ones. Sri Bhagavan Vacha. Brahma Bandhu. Na Hantavya Atatai Vadharanaha. One moment. Whatever you're most proud of in life, that's what you lose first. I was so proud of having 20/20 vision for so many years, and then. Okay, Mayavobhayam, Amnatam, Paripahi, Anushasanam, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Brahma Bandurna Hantavya, Atatai Vadharanaha, Mayavobhayam, Amnatam. Paripahyan Nushasanam Sri Bhagavan Vacha Brahma Bandurna Hantavya Atatai Vadharanaha Mayaivopayam Amnatam Paripahyan Nushasanam Sri Bhagavan Vacha Paramabandhurna Hantavya Atatai Vadharanaha Mayaivobhayam Amnatam Paripahyan Nushasanam. Please chant. Shri Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Pramabandhur Nahantavya Atatai Vadharanaha Mayaivo Payam Amnatam Paripahya Nashasanam Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Pramabandhurna Hantavya Atatai Padharanaha Mayaivo Payam Amnatam Paripahya Nashasanam. Vaishnavis, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Pramabandhurna Hantavya Atatai Vadaranaha Mayaivo Payam Amnatam Paripahya Nushasanam. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Anurna Hantavya Atatai Vadharanaha Mayaivo Payam Amnatam Paripahya Nashasanam. Okay, synonyms. Sri Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Uvacha said, Brahma Bandhu, the relative of a Brahmana. Na, not. Antavyaha, to be killed. Atatai, the aggressor. Vada arhanaha, it's due to be killed. Amnatam, described according to rulings of the authority. Paripahi, carry out. Anushasanam, rulings. So then the next verse, Kuru Pratishutam Satyang Yatat Shantavyata Priyam Priyang Chabimas Sainasya Panchalyamayam Evacha. And then Prabhupada's translation for both verses. The personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna said, a friend of a Brahmana is not to be killed, but if he is an aggressor, he must be killed. All these rulings are in the scriptures, and you should act accordingly. You have to fulfill your promise to your wife, and you must also act to the satisfaction of Bhimasena and me. Please repeat. The personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna said, a friend of a Brahmana is not to be killed. But if he is an aggressor, he must be killed. All these rulings are in the scriptures, and you should act accordingly. You have to fulfill your promise to your wife. And you must also act to the satisfaction of Bhimasena and me. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Arjuna was perplexed because Ashwatthama was to be killed as well as spared, according to different scriptures cited by different persons. As a Brahma Bandhu, or a worthless son of a Brahmana, Ashwatthama was not to be killed. But he was at the same time an aggressor also. And according to the rulings of Manu, an aggressor, even though he be a Brahmana, and what to speak of an unworthy son of a Brahmana, is to be killed. Dronacharya was certainly a Brahmana in the true sense of the term. But because he stood in the battlefield, he was killed. But although Ashwatthama was an aggressor, he stood without any fighting weapons. The ruling is that an aggressor, when he is without weapon or chariot, cannot be killed. All these were certainly perplexities. Besides that, Arjuna had to keep the promise he had made before Draupadi just to pacify her. And he also had to satisfy both Bhima and Krishna, who advised killing him. This dilemma was present before Arjuna, and the solution was awarded by Krishna. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tiname Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacharishnarine Om Agyana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unvilicham Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnu Sapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeyahang Shri Guru Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Guru and Vaishnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Mitam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Mitangsha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhumya Evacha Patitanang Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaurabhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the first thing is Sri Bhagavanuvacha. In the beginning, Hayagriva had rendered that. You know, he was an English, major English graduate, and he was Prabhupada's first editor. As soon as Prabhupada met him, he said, oh, you've graduated in English? Here, can you work on this manuscript for me immediately? Put him to work. But he did not have a lot of exposure to Vedic literature. He had been to India, and back one of the few in those days, Prabhupada's early disciples had actually been to India, but not a lot of exposure to the Vedic literature. So he rendered, in his poetic way, Sri Bhagavanuvacha, as the Blessed Lord said. And that's how it was printed in the first Gita, the Blessed Lord said. And one day Prabhupada was hearing Bhagavad Gita, and he himself said, what is this Blessed Lord said? Sri Bhagavanuvacha means the Supreme Personality of Godhead said. And explain, everybody should know what the word Bhagavan means. Bhagavan means opulence, and Van means one possesses. And principally, I mean, Krishna, as the Supreme Lord, possesses all opulences, but there are six principal opulences that are assigned to him or ascribed to him, and this is done by the sage Parashara Muni. And as we can see, everything is tied together because Vyasadeva is tied to this pastime, and also today is the appearance day of Vrindavan Das Thakur, who's said to be an incarnation of Vyasadeva. So it's all tied together. So Vyasadeva's father is Parashara Muni, and he wrote this verse that explains the six opulences of the Supreme Lord. Everybody should know. Who knows that verse? Yes? See? Started. Yes. There you go. Sura is awake. Everybody else is sleeping. We've heard this verse so many times. We should internalize it. Because if we don't understand who Bhagavan is, then the import of what Bhagavan says doesn't really hit us. So, Aishwaryasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya, Yashashakshya. Jnana, Bhairagayoshraiva, Shanam, Bhaga, Itingana. So, Aishwarya, everybody is dazzled by opulence. Nowadays, that's what it means to be a high-class person. You have opulence, money. Doesn't matter what your character is. And we see, day after day, so many high-class people, their bad characters revealed, the things that they're actually up to. But if you have money nowadays, you're considered to be a classy person. You drive a Rolls Royce, you drive a, you know, some fancy car, you live in a big house in a fancy neighborhood, then you're a classy person. But that's not what real class is in terms of the Vedic culture. But Aishwarya, it's attractive. Money is attractive. It's an attractive force. So opulence, Aishwarya, Samagrasya, Virya, strength. Everybody's attracted, especially now in Kali Yuga, even the women go to gym and become buff. Everybody's attracted by physical strength. Krishna, obviously, owns and controls all opulence, or maybe it's not so obvious. Many people don't realize that the opulence that they have is coming from Krishna. And strength, demonstrated his strength by holding up Govardhan Hill 7 days from the pinky on his little finger when he was 7 years old. Aishwaryasya Samagrasavirasya Yashasya, famous. Fame, again, is very appealing. If some famous person comes someplace, everybody stands up and practically bows down to them because they're famous. Who they are actually, again, if you dig under the surface, you can see that that fame is not really warranted from the Vedic viewpoint. But fame is an attractive force. So Aishwarya, Samagrasavirasya, Yashasya, Kshiya, and obviously the physical appearance. If you're a handsome guy, a beautiful woman, you attract attention. Jnana, knowledge, if you're very knowledgeable, big scholar, then that's attractive. Vairagya, and renunciation. If in spite of attaining or achieving any or all of those opulences, you're not swayed by it, you remain grounded, then you renounce. You're not blown away by your opulences. Then you're considered to be attractive also, a renounced person. So the import of this for us is that we understand Krishna is the source of all those opulences. He possesses them in complete fullness. And he allows every one of us to have a little bit of all of those. Somebody's a little bit wealthy. Somebody's a little bit attractive physically. Somebody's a little bit strong. Somebody's, has some knowledge. But all of those opulences, the little minute quantity that we possess, if we don't use it in Krishna's service, it becomes a burden. So money has to be used in Krishna's service. Otherwise, it drags one down. And we see, again, so many examples of people who have money. They don't use it in God's and Krishna's service, and therefore it drags them down. You know, they do all kinds of nefarious things because they can afford to do it. Or silly things. Silly things. Like there was one famous actress who used to be here, and she's passed away now, but she had so much money, she was attracted to a particular dish at a particular restaurant in New Mexico somewhere. So she would call them up, order it, and they would fly it into Los Angeles. They would fly it into L.A. so she could eat it. So just imagine how much money is wasted so one person can taste one particular dish. But she had the money, she could afford it, so big deal. So money, if it's not used in Krishna service, becomes a destructive force in our life, practically. Virya, physical strength, as Krishna says, the strength of the strong is supposed to be used to protect the weak, not for one's own self-aggrandizement. So again, if you have physical strength and you don't use it in Krishna service, then you abuse it, you misuse it, like Manasura. So strong, so many arms, he was itching always to fight. Or Hiranyaksha, again, same thing, so huge and physically strong that he was always itching for a fight, going to the demigods, challenging him, fight me, please, because he wants to show off his strength. So if we don't use his strength in Krishna service, it becomes a burden. Yashasha, fame. All of these opulences we have to use in Krishna service, otherwise they become a burden. Fame, we see, how does fame become a burden? We see there's so many famous people, and they're so famous that their fame becomes a distraction, and it becomes actually an impediment. People are always bothering them. Oh, here is such and such famous person. And they approach him for, you know, out of childish worship, or sometimes for worse. They want something and they stalk them. So your fame can become a burden. Beauty, same thing. People are attracted to you and bother you. Now, all of these can be used in Krishna service. How can you use your physical appearance? Yes. People are generally, they're on the bodily platform, so they are, first of all, they're attracted by the way you look. So you can use that in Krishna service. If somebody's attracted to you on the basis of your physical appearance, then you use that as a calling card for introducing them to Krishna. And we saw that repeatedly. We still see it today in our movement, especially a lot of the ladies that go out in the street book. I told the story before, but maybe I'll tell it again. I was traveling through Croatia back in, it was probably 2000, 2001. Met a nice couple in a city, a little small village actually, a town called Bacina. The nearest recognizable city would be Ploče, which is right on the coast. It's a shipping one of the shipping ports in Croatia. So as usual, I always ask, how did you become a devotee? And so she told me, she said she was a devotee before the husband, and she used to go out on book distribution. She would go to Dubrovnik. So she's distributing books, cafe to cafe, door to door, and she approaches this guy with Prabhupada's books, and he said, I don't want the book, but I want you. So she said, first take the book and read it, and then we'll see. So he took the book, he read it, and literally, lo and behold, he became a devotee, and they got married. So one can use one's physical appearance in Krishna service. One's strength, one's wealth, one's knowledge. Everything can be used in Krishna service. So here, Sri Bhagavanu Vacha, Krishna speaking, and he's giving Arjuna what seems to be, again, conflicting instructions. Kill him, don't kill him. But this whole thing becomes understandable when we see it as a gigantic drama that is being directed by Krishna. Krishna's directing everything anyway. Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Rindesharjuna Tishati. Ramayam Sarvabhutan. Yanta Ruda Animaya. Krishna says, I'm seated in everybody's heart and I'm directing their wanderings. And a living entity is seated on this machine of this body, wandering from body to body, place to place, and Krishna is directing it. Not necessarily directly directing, but the material energy is awarding different bodies and different circumstances, and Krishna is the controller of the material energy. So, ultimately, sarva karana karanam, Krishna is the cause of all causes. He's directing everything and everyone. But here, in this situation, directly, it's a big drama, so many people involved, and Krishna is directly directing the whole show. And if we don't understand that, it becomes difficult. For instance, prior to this, there was a battle of Kurukshetra. Is Bhishma Dev a pure devotee of the Lord? Yes? No? Yes. Bhishma Dev is a celebrated pure devotee of Krishna. Yet, he's fighting against the Pandavas who are pure devotees of the Lord. And not half-heartedly, ultimately, as Duryodhana was accusing him, he was trying to kill them. And they were trying to kill him. So this is bewildering. If God, Krishna, is directing this whole show, how can he direct his devotees, his pure devotees, to fight each other and try to kill each other? It's bewildering. It's hard to understand. And therefore we have to hear from the acharyas. We have to hear from the pure devotees of the Lord to understand this scenario. So, Prabhupada explains in one purport in the Bhagavad Gita, this is 264, Raga Dvesha Vimokta Istu Vishan Indriyashan. Sarva, how's it going? Atma Bhashya Vidayatma Prasadam Adigachati, yes. Krishna says, one who is free from aversion and attachment and who controls his senses by the process of the regular principles of freedom becomes eligible for prasad, the mercy of the Lord. He's the Lord himself speaking, and he says, but you become eligible for the mercy of the Lord. So in that purport, Prabhupada makes some nice statements, and I'll, rather than paraphrasing, let me read exactly what Prabhupada says, because this relates to what we're reading here, and how to understand how pure devotees can sometimes oppose each other. So Prabhupada says in that purport, he says, the Krishna conscious person is concerned only with the satisfaction of Krishna and nothing else. So this is what defines a Krishna conscious person, a pure devotee. They only do what Krishna wants. They want to satisfy Krishna. Therefore, he is transcendental to all attachment and detachment. If Krishna wants, the devotee can do anything which is ordinarily undesirable. So ordinarily, it's not desirable to fight your relatives, to fight another devotee. It's not desirable, but Krishna wanted it, and therefore it happened. And if Krishna does not want, he shall not do that which he would have ordinarily done for his own satisfaction. Therefore, to act or not to act is within his control because he acts only under the direction of Krishna. So once we accept that somebody is a pure devotee of the Lord, whatever they're doing is being directed by Krishna, and therefore they are above criticism. This is the point. You cannot criticize Arjuna for killing Karna off the chariot. It's what Krishna directly told him to do. You see? Everything that the devotees do, pure devotee, is being directed like this grand play by Krishna. And in the next chapter coming up, on Monday Maharaj will finish the remaining verses in this chapter, and then on Tuesday night coming we'll start chapter 8. So chapter 8, we know, in the middle of that, from verse 18 on, Queen Kunti's prayers. So she also points out that Krishna is not so easy to understand. It's not so easy to understand why he comes, why he does the things that he does, how he's, although he's the Supreme Personality of God, he's afraid of Mother Yashoda. You know, these things are bewildering, even to devotees, what to speak of non-devotees. So if we understand and accept that Krishna, Sri Bhagavan, is directing this whole show, the prelude, the war, and now this aftermath to the war, it's all being directed by Krishna. And therefore, whatever Arjuna is doing is fine. Whatever Draupadi said is fine. Whatever Yudhishthira said is fine. They're all acting on this stage, on this grand drama that's being directed by Krishna. And we have to admit, it's pretty gripping. It's pretty gripping. It's not just some mundane, somebody makes up something, some love triangle or something. No, that's about as far as our imagination goes. there's some love triangle. People get mad. Somebody kills somebody else, or there's a duel or something. And everybody's going, ooh, wah. But when Krishna directs a drama, just look at the complexity of the whole thing. Now, today, as we said, is the appearance of Vrindavan Das Thakur. And about a month ago or so, Brigapati Prabhu gave a class in which he elaborately established that the Vyasadeva who appears in the Dwapara Yuga that Krishna appears is actually Vishnu Tattva. It's not a Jiva Tattva. So I won't go through all that again, but he gave some very good arguments to establish that. That Vyasadeva is sometimes a Jiva, but when Krishna appears in that Dwapara Yuga, that Vyasadeva is an expansion on the Vishnu Tattva platform. So now, prior to this whole Mahabharata thing, that Vyasadeva was born from Satyavati by the agency of Parashar Muni, right? And then he remained tied to the royal family. When Vishwasubhira could not produce offspring, Satyavati called him. He had told her, whenever you want me, you just think about me and call me and I will come. So he came. And she asked him to continue the line. Please father children in your brother's wives so that the line can continue. And he didn't. And the first child was Dhritarashtra. But because the mother closed her eyes during the act, he was born blind. So we're seeing a connection. Vyasadeva is intimately connected with this line here. He's the one who's credited with writing about the whole thing, writing it down, presenting it to the world in the form of the Vedas, Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavatam. But he's intimately connected himself with it. So the first child, Dhritarashtra, blind. The second child, Pandu. And he was born pale because the mother blanched. Here's Vyasadeva. He's established as Vishnu Tattva, but he appears in such a way that he doesn't seem to be desirable. You see? A sage, long dreadlocks, matted hair, and, you know, not looking exactly like the date that you've dreamed about going out with. So she blanches. So Pandu is born pale. And then Satyavati was not satisfied because, you know, we want an ordinary child, an ordinary king, prince. Please come back and father another one. But then the third wife, she didn't even want to get involved. So she sent her maidservant instead. And who was born? Vidura, yes. But Vidura, being the son of a maidservant, even though he looked now finally like an ordinary child, he could not take the throne. So it was given to Pandu. Okay. And then we know the whole drama leading up. Now in the aftermath of the whole thing, this Ashwatthama is left over from the opponent's side, and he's committing all these atrocities. What to do? And Krishna's giving again these instructions that seem to contradict each other. As Maharaj Amala Bhakta pointed out, it seems that Arjuna should have just killed him right away because that was Krishna's order. But again, the pure devotees, and Arjuna is a pure devotee in all circumstances. Prabhupada is not only a pure devotee, he travels with Krishna's roadshow. One of our ISKCON devotees wrote to Prabhupada and said, you say that as soon as Krishna's lila starts here, the very next moment it starts somewhere else and it just keeps going like that. So he said, is this the same Arjuna that goes with Krishna? And Prabhupada said, yes. The same Arjuna is going with Krishna everywhere this lila is going on. This big drama is unfolding. So Arjuna is a pure devotee. And again, once you establish that somebody is a pure devotee, they're beyond criticism. Why? He didn't kill him right away? There are reasons. But the point is, he's a pure devotee. So he's being directed internally at every moment by Krishna. Everything. To kill Karna off the chariot, to not kill Ashwatthama right away. All of this is being directed by Krishna. So we get this big drama in the end now. What to do with this person? And Maharaj also read from the Mahabharata about what his final fate was, or is, because he's still here on the planet based on that curse. 3,000 years of wandering, he's still here. So, but the point again is that the whole big drama is being directed by Krishna. Once you establish that someone is a pure devotee, whether it's Arjuna or Bhishma Dev or Bhima Sen or Yudhishthira, you cannot criticize them. They are beyond criticism. Pure devotee means, again, as we read from the purport in 264, at every moment, they are acting to please Krishna, and they are doing only what Krishna wants. Bas. So fast forward to our situation. And again, I've been driving this home for years, but still it warrants repeating. If we accept that Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee of Krishna, we cannot criticize him. And yet, there are persons in our in our community who think they have the right to do that. Yes, Prabhupada is a pure disciple, but no buts. He's a pure devotee. Everything that he does, everything that he says, everything that he wrote was directed by Krishna. The same Sri Bhagavan who directed this whole Mahabharata drama is directing Srila Prabhupada. Beyond criticism. You may not understand why Prabhupada said something, because it doesn't sit with your psychophysical nature. And generally it means that you're still on the body of the platform. Therefore, he said something about women, and I don't like that because I think I'm a woman, or about black, and I think I'm black. But Prabhupada said in one letter, he said, don't misunderstand. He said, we, speaking of himself, deprecate everybody. He said, we deprecate everybody who's not a devotee of Krishna. Now, if you look up the word deprecate, it has two levels of meaning. One meaning is very heavy, to abhor or to despise. But then another meaning means to not accept or not see eye to eye with. So we, following in Prabhupada's footsteps as devotees, we don't see eye to eye with anybody who is not a Christian devotee. Doesn't mean that we hate them or they should disappear. No, we endeavor, depending on where they are, to uplift them. That's what Christian consciousness means, preaching. To bring somebody from a lower level to a higher level, gradually. But Prabhupada did not, obviously, as a pure devotee of the Lord, seeing the Lord in everybody's heart, as Subhas was reading this morning, not exactly paying obeisances or respecting the body, but understanding that the super soul is within. That's what it means when you pay respect. So Prabhupada gave it, put everybody in their place, right here in this garden. He would meet. And there's one famous meeting, it's videotaped, you can see. Prabhupada is speaking to scholars, big professors. He doesn't treat them like they're some, you know, God's gift to the world. No. He said, do you know who God is? No, we don't know. He said, then you're not theologians. The suffix L-O-G-Y means science. And if you, so you should, you're presenting yourselves as theologians, which means you're spiritual scientists. That means you should know God. If you don't know God, then you're a theosophist. That means you're still searching. You see? They're shocked. Nobody speaks to these big scholars like that. So Prabhupada did not discriminate. It wasn't that he, you know, didn't say nice things about this group, but he said nice things about that other group. No, if you're not a devotee of the Lord, then you get it from Prabhupada. And now it's up to you. Can you take it and move forward in spiritual life? Or you're going to think, oh, everybody thinks I'm a scholar and this guy is telling me that I'm not. You know. No, Prabhupada gave it to them. He said, now, I know God. Why don't you accept? I'm telling you that Krishna is God. Krishna himself said he's God. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts. So many big acharyas in India accepted him as God. Why don't you accept? You admit you don't know who God is. I'm telling you who God is. Why don't you accept? So this is how Prabhupada dealt with everybody. That's the mood of Prabhupada to everyone. Not that he was against blacks or women or this or that. He was not against anyone. And Prabhupada even said that when the devotees went to San Francisco and opened that first center there. They sent Prabhupada a ticket and he came out to San Francisco. And one writer there wrote that this Swami has come to San Francisco to bring his conservative brand of Indian religion. So when they brought it and showed it, Prabhupada says, conservative? Why do they say that? And so one disciple said, oh, well, Prabhupada, because of the rules and regulations, you know, no illicit sex, and especially against illicit sex and intoxication, that, you know, they think you're conservative. So Prabhupada said, yes, in that sense. But he said, in the broad sense, I give everyone an opportunity to become a devotee of Krishna. I don't discriminate against black, white, young, old, fat, thin, male, female. It doesn't matter. I'm giving everyone an opportunity to become Christian conscious. So I'm not conservative. I'm not conservative. So, again, from Prabhupada's viewpoint, the viewpoint of a pure devotee of the Lord, anyone who is not a devotee of Krishna can be deprecated. And that's his position. To, in other words, not see eye to eye with them. Don't kowtow to them. And just give them the straight sauce. Krishna is God. You're not. Surrender to him. Following this very easy process of chanting the Maha Mantra and following the regulative principles of freedom. And you will qualify yourself to go back to home, back to Godhead. So maybe a question or two if there are any, and then we'll say a few more words about Vrindavan Das Thakur. Yes.
Just a comment.
Did I say comment? I said if there are any questions.
Okay.
All right, but since you started, go ahead.
Just reading the data on LinkedIn now to see how it's like my class a little bit seeing how much it was like Shadow is more severely struggling to do this version of just because we heard that what he's on the dial rate.
Yeah, that's exactly why I made that point when Romified Maharaj gave class, because he was saying, rightfully so, that we should, you know, people should read Prabhupada's books. But if you don't understand the person behind the book, you will write so many silly things. Like the movie. I use that as an example also. When the movie came out, one writer, right here in L.A., wrote that it's a well-known fact that Prabhupada was an anti-Semite and a misogynist. I mean, my God, how can you say that? Almost to a man, to a woman, all of Prabhupada's early disciples were from the Jewish faith. Look, if you go back and look in the Lilamrita, almost all of them. Ramananda and his brother, Mukunda Maharaj, on and on and on. So many of them from the Jewish. Prabhupada is not an anti-Semite. I mean, it's, come on. That's only a foolish person. So if you don't understand the person, even if you read the books, because you have to have a certain level of adhikar. Just like, again, here in L.A., that famous morning walk, the disciples were saying, and when we tell people about the principles, they, and Prabhupada slammed this guy, why are you surprised? You're preaching to cats and dogs. Make them fortunate. Get them to chant Hare Krishna. Get them to eat prasadam. And then they will gradually become qualified to understand the books. So, yes, we have to go on distributing the books profusely. But we have to internalize love for Prabhupada. We really have to. If we don't have that love for Prabhupada, then we can't share it with others. And when we appreciate Prabhupada, we actually love Prabhupada, then we can get others to appreciate him as well. But if we are doubtful, and that's why I say, once you accept Prabhupada as a pure devotee, you cannot criticize him. Like some people give themselves the leeway to do that. We're saying all the time, Om Agyananta Mirandasya, Agyananjana Shalakaya. We're glorifying the spiritual master. We say open our eyes with a torchlight, but it's not really torchlight. It says Gyana Anjana. Gyana, knowledge, anjana means ointment. And shalaka is an instrument that you use for keeping the eyes open so you can put the ointment in it. So the spiritual master puts the ointment of knowledge in the eyes so we can actually start to see things as they are. We can see that I'm not this body, everybody else is not their body. We can start to treat people on the spiritual platform. The spiritual master has given you that vision and you can turn around and criticize them. No, that's not our path. That's not our way. You cannot. You may misunderstand or not understand something that Prabhupada did or said, but then approach somebody who can lead you in understanding it. But don't criticize Prabhupada. That's not. Then you put yourself on a platform where you can censor your spiritual master. It doesn't work. You can't censor your spiritual master. It doesn't work. Then he's not your spiritual master. All right, so let's just read a couple of things from the CC about Vrindavanadas Thakur. Vrindavanadas Thakur was the child of Narayani. Narayani was the niece of Shivas Thakur. Narayani received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, so she was a full-on pure devotee, lover of God. So Vrindavanadas Thakur took birth from such a womb. And the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj, has all respect for him. So I'll just read a couple of verses that points that out. This is the Adi Leela, chapter 8, text 33. Ore Mura Loka Shuna Chaitanya Mangal, Chaitanya Mahima Yate Jani Vesaka. O fools, just read Sri Chaitanya Mangala. By reading this book, you can understand all the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, in the beginning, when Vrindavanadas Thakur wrote his book, it was called Chaitanya Mangala, but later on it was changed to Chaitanya Bhagavat because someone else wrote a book by that name. So, he probably explains here. Sri Vrindavanadas Thakur's Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat was originally entitled Sri Chaitanya Mangala, but when Srila Lochandas Thakur later wrote another book named Sri Chaitanya Mangala, Srila Vrindavanadas Thakur changed the name of his own book, which is now therefore known as Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. The life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very elaborately described in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has already informed us that in his Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he has described whatever Vrindavan Das Thakur has not mentioned. This acceptance of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami indicates his acceptance of this disciplic succession. A writer of transcendental literature never tries to surpass the previous acharyas. Then the next verse. Krishna Lila Bhagavate Kahe Veda Vyas, Chaitanya Lila Ravyas, Vrindavana Das. As Vyasadeva has compiled all the pastimes of Lord Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam, Thakur Vrindavana Das has depicted the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And then one more. Vrindavana Das Kaila Chaitanya Mangala, Yanhara Shravane Nase, Sarva Amangala. Thakur Vrindavana Das has composed Sri Chaitanya Mangala. Hearing this book annihilates all misfortune. Shri Vrindavana Das Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki jai.
If we accept that the Vyasadeva appears in Krishna appears as Krishna Tattva, then he comes back as Vrindavan Das Thakur.
Also, Krishna arranged for the same Bhakti of Purushottara. He arranged that Bhima is on another side, so Krishna. So somebody can ask, why he did like that? Why he didn't arrange that Krishna also? Maybe out of duty, you know, like Kshatriya. Is it some other reason?
It is not easy to understand Krishna's. Maybe some acharyas mentioned that. I have not seen that anywhere. Why it was arranged for Bhishma. I mean, we know externally why.
Because
he was being maintained by the Lord. He felt obliged to be on that side. If there is some other deeper meaning than that, I've never discovered. But the point is, just because one opposes Krishna in battle doesn't mean it's